When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's a play to play. He is out. Oh, he is out. What a play by Derek Jeter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. It's a new day, but yesterday was a good day. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Feels good to win. Yankees get a win. Mets get a win. Completely different games. And I opened up tonight just talking about how winning cures all. How much we need winning. Watching Hard Knocks, Malik Nabers told Brian Daboll, I hate losing more than I love winning. And when you look at baseball teams, like we look at our baseball teams every single night, it's dramatic. It's overblown. It's ridiculous, honestly. They don't do this everywhere. They can't. They don't have the fans. They don't have the radio station. They don't have the Twitter presence. They don't have the forums. They don't have the podcasts, the Instagram accounts. They don't have the coverage. They're not living and dying with every game like this across the country. Just Arizona Diamondbacks fans just don't go so hard. Like, it's not that type of thing. But, man, when you win, like the Mets won tonight, and then you look at the standings, like you go to bed really happy. And even though they're only a game above 500, even though anything can happen down the road, you're happy because you think about what it took to get here, and you're thinking about the promise of tomorrow. And you're thinking about, I don't know, Mackenzie Gore versus David Peterson and winning that game and having the Colorado Rockies come in and potentially sweeping them or taking that series and maybe getting the news of Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor going to the All-Star game. And then, you know, next week we'll have a break. We won't have games. But you'll feel good about your team. You'll feel good about your season. And as fans, like, that's what we need because we don't get to impact what goes on the field at all, but we wear it. We wear it like we're players on the team. 888-808-1019. Same thing with the Yankees, right? Brian Cashman had to pop out. And I just was looking at WFAN.com. There's an article, I guess. I think I heard this. I think I heard Sal and BT going back and forth on, you know, Brian Cashman's quote and whether Brian Cashman was thinking about selling. They could lose the rest of the games this month and not selling. Like, don't read between the lines too much. Don't read between the lines to the point you're, like, making something up. Don't read between the lines to think that Brian Cashman is alluding to the Yankees selling off. For what? Like, last year, when they were terrible, he just did nothing. They added Keenan Middleton. This year, they have an MVP in Judge, another MVP in Soto, Stanton coming back, Rizzo coming back, Clark Schmidt coming back, Scott Efros coming back, JT Brubaker making his Yankee debut at some point, Ben Rice emerging, and there's just so many different reasons why there's no way they would be sellers at the deadline. It just depends what they're able to buy. It just depends on what they're able to add. But, man, I've been calling this Brian Cashman's magnum opus. I've been saying that this is the most important deadline maybe of his career because of the generational talent you have, because in theory this is 1 year of Juan Soto. Gerrit Cole ain't getting any younger. Judge ain't getting any younger. DJ, Rizzo, Stanton. Obviously, those guys aren't getting any younger. Gleyber Torres is gone. Verdugo is probably gone. Somehow they got to figure out a way for Carlos Rodon to be gone, but they're going for it. They're absolutely going for it. Like, we're talking about a team. Like, it's crazy how ridiculous we get. We're talking about a team two games out of first place on June 11th. The deadline is July 30th, and we're talking about that team selling. No. There's no world where Brian Cashman is thinking about selling off. there are teams on the cusp of the wild card thinking about being buyers. They're going all in. They're going to try and add as many pieces to this team to help this team as they can, because Brian Cashman himself, before the season, said he wants the Yankees to be the mecca of baseball. And he talked about a personal guilt and how disappointed he is when players come through here and don't get the opportunity to play in the World Series. Masahiro Tanaka didn't get to pitch in the World Series. That's not cool. That's not cool. So hopefully they get there. Hopefully they pick up the pieces as a team, right? That's where it starts. The team figured it out. And hopefully they figure it out again with Nestor Cortez versus Shane Baz at Shane Baz at 650. And the Mets have Mackenzie Gore versus David Peterson at 110. And we're looking to have back-to-back wins and keep on rolling and have good vibes and good energy going into the Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, the break. And then we count down the days to the deadline to see who they add to these teams to make a run at it. I think we've seen enough. Neither team is selling off. Both teams are trying to be in October. Obviously, the Mets are trying to be a wild card team, but I think the Yankees very much think that they can win the division, very much think that they could be a top seed, and they should. They got off to a hot start. I remember saying stack wins, yo. That's why I was upset earlier in the season when they didn't complete sweeps, like Kansas City losing that game 4-3, Clay Holmes blown or whatever. It happens, but I'm like, nah, you need that. You need that. You got to stack wins. Dropping a game to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'm like, no, you can't drop a game to the freaking Angels. You need to sweep them. The Oakland Athletics losing that first game. Boone gets tossed because a fan in the front row of Legends yelled something, and they end up splitting with the Oakland Athletics. I'm like, no, you take three. You should take four out of it, but whatever. It's in the past. Now they're just trying to right the ship. They're trying to see if they can win back-to-back games for the first time in a month, and I think they can. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's see. Thomas is in center reach. What's up, Thomas? You're on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's going on, bro?
Working.
So first I was going to talk like Jets and NFL, but I have a trade proposal for Yankee faithful. Would y'all, since you're trying to get rid of Gleyber, don't think Jeff McNeil is a bullpen player?
Oh, you're breaking up. I heard Jeff McNeil. I heard Gleyber Torres. You're saying like a swap?
No, since you guys are Gleyber, Jeff
might. Oh, Thomas, you got to call us back, brother. I'm sorry. I think Francesa was suggesting a swap on his podcast. I catch his podcast sometimes on YouTube. I'm subscribed to it on podcasts, but I really don't. I don't know. I've been listening to beats. I don't listen to music. I'm trying to get my bars together. I'm trying to get my flow back. I fell off. I used to be nice with it. I used to be able to put some rhymes together. I'm way overdue with that. I don't even listen to WFAN during the day anymore as much. I'm trying to get to the bars. But anyway, I think I heard Mike Francesa mention a swap for Jeff McNeil. Get Jeff McNeil out of, and obviously with the emergence of Jose Iglesias, and then obviously Yankee fans have been over Gleyber Torres, but imagine you add a Gleyber Torres. I don't think they would need a Gleyber Torres. They have Jose Iglesias, but maybe it wasn't. I do remember Francesa talking about McNeil, but there's just no reason to swap those two. What does that do for either side? McNeil's struggling. Why would you add another struggling bat to the Yankees lineup? And they have no need for young Gleyber Torres. Jose Iglesias is batting 338, been clutch, 10 for 19 with runners in scoring position, hit record. Both teams are looking for bullpen help. And not for nothing, I'm looking at the Yankees now. I'm like, they actually have some guys in this bullpen. Like, I don't mind Kirk Cousins' cousin. Jake Cousins, he's been decent. He's on the cusp of the circle of trust. Michael Tonkin is in there. Luke Weaver's definitely in there. Clay Holmes is trying to get back in there as an all-star. Tommy Canley wants in. They got a couple guys coming out of bullpen. Tim Hill. Tim Hill's the only Yankee with two wins this month. Tim Hill's rounding into form. So let's go to Bobby in Rockaway, New Jersey, to continue the conversation around those Yanks.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call, man.
No problem.
Yeah, no, just talking about the Yanks. Yeah, Tim Hill. Yeah, I tweeted at you telling him too. Yeah, he has those two wins, which is wild to think about. I mean, I never. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a big baseball fan. 2 months ago, you told me Tim Hill was on the Yankees. I'd be like, who?
Yeah, but, that's why I queued you up. I said to you on Twitter, didn't have that on my bingo card. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, just two quick things. I mean, one, like talking about real quick with Rizzo and Ben Rice here. You know, hearing a lot of people saying, you know, is Rizzo's time with the Yankees done because of the emergence of Rice? Now, look, in my head, and what do I know? But to me, look, if Rice keeps playing well, you can't start Anthony Rizzo. But I still think you need someone like Anthony Rizzo on this team just because he's someone who, if he's all right with it, you don't know. I mean, look, it seems like he would be the type of player he is. But if he's cool with, like, being one of those kind of utility guys, I know he can only play first base and DH, but kind of switch off with Rice, maybe mentoring him. But also, he's been there. He's won before. He'd be someone who I feel like, in my head, could be a big bat in the postseason. You know, I mean,
I don't think he's going to be a big bat in the postseason. Earlier in the season, his glove was sketchy. We were looking at him like, why isn't he making routine plays? He cost us, a couple outs early in the season. Ben Rice has yet to really do that. And Ben Rice has now found his pop. But everyone's got to chill on Ben Rice. He had 50 at bats in AAA, and I think he just got over 50 at bats in the show. We still don't know exactly what he is. That he might tail off. He's had some 0-for-4 nights. Like, he might tail off, and we might be wanting to see Rizzo come back. So it's too far out to predict. But what's solid is we lose Rizzo. We call this kid up. We fast-track this kid. I didn't even think they would have the balls to do it. And he's been productive. Great. Those are good problems to have. Like they fixed the problem. So having him and having Rizzo, two left-handed hitters at first base, one rookie, one veteran, that we're going to have at least we don't feel like we got to go out there and find a first baseman in the trade deadline now. Everybody's talking about getting Christian Walker and Vladdy Jr. and Paul Goldschmidt. No, this is going to cost too much to get those guys. Keep rocking with who we got.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, sure, I thought they were going to call T.J. Rumfield instead of Rice, but I mean, glad they called up Rice. But last thing, and it's about Rodon. It's I know he's struggling, and he, you know, I think we talked about this last night. I don't trust him in a postseason rotation, but to me, it just seems like as a lefty, I just feel like you look at some lefties. Now, granted, he can throw harder than these two, but you look at like Pettit and CeCe when they started to lose their velocity. Now Rodon can throw hard, but I feel like he should try and throw a cutter a little bit more, because obviously when he's getting hit hard. And if he can throw a cutter, maybe he induces more soft contact. I'm just, grasping at straws, but like looking at something like that. I mean, growing up in the 90s, Pettit was I grew up as a lefty pitcher, loved watching Andy Pettit and loved watching what he did and how he helped CeCe. I just didn't know if he could help Rodon, even though Rodon still has the velocity that they didn't have later in their careers.
Yeah, he's got a shift. You're 100% right with that. Thanks for the call, Bobby. Like, he's got a shift. I think when we picked him up and when he was balling, he was a bulldog that could blow the fastball by guys. And, I mean, he still has velocity on it, but I think, he was just fastball slider. He was just four-seam fastball slider. And he could get that four-seam fastball up in the upper 90s and put guys away. Now he can't locate it, and now he just looks like he's, I don't know. So he was mentioning like guys like CeCe or having to adapt as they get older, and they can't be that power pitcher, that now they have to actually pitch. Now they have to have a better pitch mix. And, I mean, he has a changeup. He has a cutter. He has a curve. If anybody can help him, you would think it's Matt Blake. If anybody can help him, it's Gerrit Cole, but it seems like he's stubborn to take the help. I got to go back and watch. Like, because of the pitch calm now, you don't really see them, like, shaking off. But it's like, I think Rodon is a head case, bro. I think he's stuck in his head on what he used to be. I think he's trying to force that. And then he's getting got, and he just can't accept it. You better figure it out fast, homie. Like, you better become something else quickly, because you're not what you used to be. And this is the second year of a 6-year deal, and you can't be stubborn. You can't be you can't keep going out there giving it up in the first inning because you're trying to get your rhythm and you're trying to throw your fastball. You're trying to land your fastball. You're on the other side of 30, bro. You're 31. You're not getting any younger, and nobody's gonna want you. There's the Yankees are stuck with this. The Yankees are stuck with him. They're stuck with this contract, and they gotta get him to the point where right away he's mixing up his pitches. Because coming into the game, trying to like establish your fastball, you're getting rocked because these are major league hitters. They have hitters meetings, and they're looking at you go out there against the Braves and get rocked. They're looking at like they're laughing. They're like, oh, I can't wait for him to come through and throw me that pitch. I'm sitting on it. I'm waiting for his fastball. 888-808-1019. I'm not worried about Rodon, bro. It's another one of those, like, I just see more and more people putting out there, you know, Cashman's bad signings and Cashman's bad trades. Nobody puts out there the good stuff. The good stuff, it's like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. That's part of your job. But, man, I just even saw, let me find this from my notes. I was like, damn, I wasn't even thinking about this. In 2021, we wanted Joey Gallo. Everybody wanted Joey Gallo. We looked at his power, a left-handed hitter. We thought about the short porch. We needed a left fielder. He was a solid left fielder, a solid defender. And we thought, oh, yeah, of course. I saw Matty Moss. Shout out to Matty Moss from John Boy Media. He put out there, he said, one of the four guys that the Yankees traded for Joey Gallo 3 years ago, Josh Schmidt. He put Gallo's war with the Yankees was 0.5. Josh Smith's war this season is a 3.1. He wrote, sure would be nice to have this production at third base right now. Hell yeah, it would be. I remember seeing that about Ezekiel Duran. I'm like, yo, this is a young athletic player. We've traded away some young prospects that were on the way up for win-now moves and guys that couldn't play here. Joey Gallo could not get it done here. He blamed the fans. Bro actually mentioned talking. Like, he actually mentioned and talked about not being able to walk around New York City without being like heckled. Yeah, what do you expect, bro? What do you expect? I was in Yankee Stadium. We tried to pick you up. Even when you were trash, people were chanting, Joey Gallo. People wanted to believe. You're Italian. So you naturally had the Italian Yankee fans backing you up. You couldn't get it done. You were arguably the worst hitter I've ever seen in Yankee Stadium. The worst. The worst. And we had to give up a few pieces to get him. And as I like actually like keep going through these deadlines and these years, I don't want to know. I want to forget the names of the guys that we gave away to get Andrew Benintendi or get, like, it doesn't matter. Because once they're gone, they're gone. But I look at this deadline coming up, I know that they won't make that mistake again because they know how much their payroll is going to be moving forward. And Hal Steinbrenner has talked about, yo, we can't go out there and pay everybody. So how do you offset the cost? You got to have young talent, and they actually do have a lot of young talented players on the way. They actually, like, next year's outfield could legit be, if they lose Soto, and I think someone's going to pay Verdugo a lot of money, it could be Spencer Jones in left field, Jason Dominguez in center field, put Judge back in right field. It could seriously be that. And I don't know, if they don't get a second baseman, it could be Oswald Peraza at second base or Oswaldo Cabrera, Volpe at short. I don't know, they're getting younger. Ben Rice at first. Like, just that fast, the Yankees could have a bunch of young players under 26 years old on this team next year that are cost effective, that are good players. So they're not about to trade those guys away at the deadline for this year to go all in. They will ride it out with some of the guys that they have, and they will do what they can with Cashman considerations and players to be named later. But the top guys that you know the names of, they're off limits. They're non-starters. 888-808-1019. I'm so interested to see what the Mets do with the few players that they got back last year. I don't expect them to flip any of those guys. But obviously, Phil Maton comes over here for cash considerations and a player to be named later. He's all smiles. He's happy to be here. He said, it's exciting to come here. They went out of their way to acquire me and add me to this team as we make a push for a playoff seed. He said, wearing Mets gear. He talked about wearing number 88. It's just the number that they gave him when he was a young nobody coming up. First player in Mets history to wear 88. I'm rooting for that guy. I'm rooting for that because they're saying, hey, they're not shying away from using him. I'm rooting for that guy to come in and be solid. He can be so much better than what you already had. Thomas is in center reach. Thomas, you're on the fan. What up?
Actually, yeah. Hi,
oh, no, you're in Queens. The other Thomas was
in Queens.
Center reach.
That's okay. Actually, I'm calling it to advocate for
starters finishing games. I go back. I'm an older man, but you know, starters used to finish games.
Once in a while, they still have complete games, but it's just rare now.
It's very rare, very rare. And, you know, I've been going to Mets games, and their bullpen basically stinks. And, like, what, Quintana went seven the other? Why didn't they let him finish the game? Is there a commandment in baseball that also not let pitches finish?
Nah, back-to-back starts for Quintana. He went seven innings. Let me go look up his pitch count. They have a plan in place. He's also a little bit older.
You know, can I say something about that? You know what? Warren Spahn pitched against Juan Marichal. Warren Spahn was 42 years old. You know how many pitches he? They went 15 innings. He pitched 221 pitches. Those were men back then.
Nobody can throw 200 pitches now. No one.
But you know what?
By the time they get to 115, they're giving up homers.
But you know what, Keith? You know that I know they're doing it to so-called protect arms, but they're getting hurt now just as much, more than when they were pitching complete games. It doesn't make any sense.
I just think it's the way of baseball now. They have enough.
I know it is. They have enough
knowledge.
It's the way. But why can't people go back to that?
I mean, we can't go back to the rotary phone. We can't go back to the black and white TV. We can't go back to beepers, payphones. Like, we evolve and we advance.
But that's not evolvement. That's regressing.
No. They're wisening up. They're getting smarter.
No, Keith. If a guy is pitching good, very simply, it's not brain science. If a guy's pitching good, you leave him in. If he's not pitching good, you take him out. But they have a plan for these guys, and they also want to get other guys work.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. Jose Quintana threw 103 pitches in his last seven-inning start. The one before that, he threw 95. So I would guess the number for him is 100. Now, every inning is not the same. You're going to have 1, 2, 3 innings face the minimum. You're going to have some innings where you struggle a little bit. Your pitch count is up. But you know, and I know watching baseball, these guys don't go over 100 pitches unless they have a complete game, perfect game, no hitter going. And it's like never happening now. It's not a thing in this modern day baseball. You have to have a bullpen. And you have to get those guys regular work so that they can stay loose and consistent and ready to go. You can't advocate to go back to 200 pitches. Is like, what? 200 pitches, the guy's going to be out. He's going to be on the IL. 200 pitches, he's going to get to 115 pitches. He's going to be giving up homers. You're going to be losing the game. You know, when Quintana came out of that start against the Nationals in D.C., he came out of 93 pitches, and he didn't give anything up. But they still had a plan to go to Adrian. It's just that they have plans, and sometimes the plans fail, but they'll live with that, right? They will pitch Christian Scott, and he threw 99 pitches to start before, and they will say his number is 75, and when he gets to 77, enough, no mas. No, not another batter. No, not let him finish the inning, because they don't care. I'm telling you, we talk about this too much. We can't go backwards. It is the way of baseball. They are always looking down the road. I was so mad the night that the Yankees pitched Michael Tonkin and took Clay Holmes out, who hadn't pitched in a week. Clay Holmes threw 10 pitches. They took him out, their closer, to pitch Michael Tonkin, who got DFA'd by the Mets, DFA'd by the Twins. They had a whole plan. The guy landed at 2 a.m. that day, didn't even know his teammates' names. And they pitched that guy, and he blew the game, and they accepted it. They were fine with it, because sometimes the plans work, sometimes they don't. And sometimes the plans can look really dumb to us as fans. They don't care. Sometimes the plans work, and we celebrate it. Yeah, but man, the plan is the plan. They go in with a plan, because if you don't go in with a plan, like, you can't just, I don't know, you can't just freeball it, man. If you fail to plan, you can plan to fail. And sometimes plans fail and they don't care. They deal with it, bro. And that's baseball. That is modern day baseball. These guys are not going that deep in games. Gerrit Cole comes back, he's got a pitch limit. Luis Gil is coming back from Tommy John, he's got a pitch limit. Early in the season, I remember Luis Gil, they pulled him out of a game. People, oh, come on, let him. I'm like, no, they have eyes on later in the year. The night they took Clay Holmes out, I was mad as hell because they're talking about Clay Holmes has appeared in half our games already. So what? He's your closer. He hadn't pitched in a week. 10 pitches? He whipped his arm 10 times? He can't come back out? Because they're so stuck in the plan, in the analytics, in what the computer tells them, in what they already decided before the game got to where it was. They already decided they were using Michael Tonkin for extra innings in the 10th. Clay pitched 10 pitches in the 9th. He couldn't come back out for the 10th. I thought that was dumb as hell. They don't care. Fast forward where we are now. They're not thinking about that. On to the next. So, yeah, you can call up and advocate for starters to go deeper in games. Starters don't. We were celebrating all the Yankee starters pitching 4 innings minimum. I'll take it. I'll honestly take it. If guys can go 4 or 5 innings clean, cool. It's just not the way anymore, man. And they're protecting these guys. Christian Scott is a young guy. They don't want him getting hurt. And they don't look at games like we look at games. It's 162 one-game seasons for us. We live and die with every game. And you might have a parlay, and you might have bet on the game. They don't do that. That's illegal for them. They look at 162 games like we're gonna lose. Like, we're gonna lose. And if we lose a game, we'll live to fight the next day, but we can't afford to lose this arm. 888-808-1019. Talking Mets, talking Yanks. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call the show. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
High in the air toward deep left field. No doubt about this one. Over the picnic area. It's gone. The 6th home run of the year for David Wright.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, we're back. The Fan in New York, 101.9 FM. Keith McPherson, nighttime host. Rock until 2, so I've got like no time left. I'm not going to put the number out there. I'm going to try and take my calls. And as calls disappear, if you know the number, you can dial to try and get on the line. Let's get right back to the phones, man. We're talking about your New York Mets, your New York Yankees coming off of wins. I think, obviously, the Mets are trying to sweep the Nationals. I mean, they've got them in the season series, but like sweep them and then sweep the Rockies, and I think you're sitting pretty in the wild card. And then for the Yankees, it's obvious, right? You haven't won back-to-back games in a literal month. The last time you won back-to-back games was June 11th and 12th. Here we are, July 11th. Win back-to-back games so you feel good. Happy flight. Going to Maryland to face the Baltimore Orioles and build a ballpark. As they've already dropped to the Chicago Cubs, they're stumbling a bit. They could get swept. And then if you go in there and handle business going into the All-Star break, you put all of this nonsense behind you about Aaron Boone being fired, Cashman being fired, guys not hustling, guys not taking it serious. Like, it'll just be a thing of the past. Let's go to Margie in Bayside on The Fan. Hello, Margie. You got it.
Hi, Keith. Margie, the musician. I'm on today. I actually had a very, very long day, and I was lying down, and then I heard that Good Times, Isley Brothers, Footsteps in the Dark. Yeah, I did. Now, I know it's rotation, but somehow whenever it plays, close to me. Yeah. I wanted to offer my condolences to you about your grandfather.
Thank you.
Because, I know, you know, how much that was an important part of your life, and I just wanted to say that. You know, because I think that part of what makes you so, one of the many things that makes you appealing on this show is your heart. And I know that you feel things deeply, and I just wanted to say that, you know,
yeah,
I appreciate you for that.
I feel like I've had enough death conversations. Obviously, a lot of people have heard me talk about my brother. I've broken down on air. It's something, you know, I've tried to kind of keep at bay. My pop rolling, we knew he was going to pass, and they waited a while to have his celebration of life and not a funeral. over a month, and they waited till everyone was kind of on a vacation with the 4th of July. So I kind of just dipped off and didn't talk too much about it, tried to keep it to sports. But thank you for the condolences, and we had a good time. We sent him off the right way, and I know he's looking down proud of me. I just, you know, I was the oldest grandchild, and we got all the grandkids together, and I just really got a great perspective going to a place where they're not worried about the New York Yankees. They don't listen.
They don't listen
to WFAN. They can't get Yankee games. They can't get WFAN down there. But they, you know, they love me and they follow me and they're rooting for me. So yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, when you talk on the fan, your heart shows, and your humanity just lights things up, makes you stand out. I have to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to talk a bit about the Mets, you know, with Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor. They're leading the Mets surge, so I'm really feeling hopeful about that. But I have to say, on the flip side, because I do see things from both perspectives, the Yankees are doing better.
Yeah, they easily could have blown that game tonight. I mean, it wasn't that impressive, but what was impressive that, you know, they found a way to win, the will to win, the bullpen locking it down, and a guy like Trent Grisham being the star. But with the Mets, you know, like Brandon Nimmo hitting a home run the last 3 days after not making the All-Star game. And, I mean, even Lindor 2 nights ago balling like that. It's just so loud and obvious that the Mets are demanding their respect. And they're trying to shed that skin of, like, the LOL Mets not being good. People laughing at them being a laughingstock. They've got so many positive storylines and things floating around this team. And it's showing on the field every night.
Yeah, and that's the human factor in it. And I think that new young pitcher, Christian Walker, I think they should make him a regular, put him on the regular roster, I think would be a good idea.
Christian Scott, yeah. That's the whole plan. I think they want him to be a part of the rotation, the six-man rotation, and they're trying to preserve his arm so he could do that, putting him on regular rest. Now with the six-man rotation, he'll get a little bit more rest. But, yeah, he's a young guy with a lot of promise, and I think he's a part of the Mets' future. And they want the future to be right now.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking forward to that three-game series with the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees. That should be a real showdown. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. I do believe you did mention something today about analytics. And I do feel that, you know, I think that baseball has become too digitized. And I do think when it comes to making decisions about who to keep in and all that, I do think the human factor has kind of been taken out too much. I think analytics has taken over too much in baseball.
Yeah, some managers know how to mix it in, how to manage with it. But, yeah, just across baseball, it's too much of a numbers game. It's too scripted. It's too planned. And it's so obvious that these guys go out there with something that the supercomputer spit out. And, you know, they run all of these different, you know, simulations and things about what's going to happen, and they go off of that. And I think a lot of times they're right, but then when they're wrong, they're really wrong, and it upsets fans that watch, and they, you know, question every move that they make when it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that idea that if it's digital, it has to be right. And I think the human factor should never die out. It should always be that human factor.
Yeah, you can't measure the heart. You can't measure the heartbeat. You can't measure who's a competitor, who's going to rise to the occasion, who's going to be clutch. That's what I was talking about with Oswaldo Cabrera. I'm like, as much as people call to say Oswaldo Cabrera should play, you're calling to endorse him because of the eye test. You've seen him be clutch. You've seen him add a spark and a flare. But when they run their numbers and they do their simulations, they don't have him coming up clutch. They can't add that into the computer.
Absolutely. In artificial intelligence, they will never, and I repeat, I believe they will never, no matter how hard they work on it, ever create an artificial intelligence that will equal the human brain.
I hope
and
not.
I think... I also wanted to tell you, I wanted to suggest, because I know that there's the musician in you, I feel it so strongly, and I was wondering maybe that, you know, your name Keith, maybe if you like the idea of the spelling K-E-Y-T-H, to put that kind of musicality in your name.
Never, no one's ever hit me with that, like Key, K-E-Y-T-H.
Yeah.
There might be something to that. That's like a stage name or an alias.
Yeah, because I feel that music, you have this tremendous desire toward music. I feel it as a musician. And so I thought if you have the name with it, that would kind of give you a surge in that direction. I also noticed one other thing. I know that the music is put in the roster, but I did hear after I spoke to you recently, you had this song "I'm Coming Out," the Supremes, which is another great number. Mm-hmm. And so you have some good songs that come out. And so I just wanted to make you aware that there's someone listening intently to the music that
good.
You put forth.
It's intentional. I have a whole pack of beats mixed in with some of the beats that we have automated for the rejoins. I try to keep it hip hop because I am hip hop. And when you're hearing, those samples like the Isley Brothers with Ice Cube's "Today Was a Good Day," and what you just heard was "More Money, More Problems" with Notorious B.I.G., Puff Daddy, and Mace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the old school being sampled by new school hip-hop, which is now old school hip-hop.
Yeah, and I just wanted you to know that it hits my ears, and I am directly encouraging you in the musical vein as well, as a fellow musician.
Good. It's just a time thing. I wish I had a month to like go to a studio every day and like write lyrics and like listen to beats and like compose songs. Maybe one day in life, but not currently where I am in life.
Remember that Margie encouraged you. Because I've been in the studio doing recording and there's nothing like it. Huh?
Margie from Bayside. Maybe I'll have a line in my next rap for you, Margie. I appreciate it.
Good. Thank you.
Have a good night. Thanks for that. I don't get paid to rap on the radio, but I think it's something cool to do. I've done it a bunch of times, and I don't remember the last time I did it. I think the last time I did it was last year. I thought getting on the plane and having some time away, I'd get a chance to put something together, but nope, that didn't happen. So I don't know. I heard Salicata's rap for was it David Wright? He did a rap for it was for the Dark Knight, Matt Harvey. He had a Matt Harvey rap over Hip Hop Hooray. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, Sal. Wasn't bad. There was some rhythm in there. There was some flow in there. Yeah. I'll work on it, man. It's just a matter of getting a window. But I don't get the window anymore. Life has changed. I've grown up. I'm never around anybody that raps. And now I'm around my baby, who is just getting bigger and crazier and more demanding. And it's just, there ain't no time for that. I just got to put my notes together to come in and do the show every night and talk about the Mets and talk about the Yankees and talk about what I saw and take your calls. And I think that's good enough. But one day you'll hear me kick some flows and you'll be like, yo, this guy was talking about being able to rap. What haven't I mentioned from my notes? Oh, yeah. The Yankees signed left-handed reliever Tim Mayza to a minor league contract. So there's the bargain bin, the scrap heap. There's those little moves. I also saw a note out there that the Tampa Bay Rays were willing to offer a $300 million 10-year contract to Aaron Judge, and they don't do that. They don't know who to pay. The guy that they decided to pay, they gave a long-term contract to. He just got indicted. And they added human trafficking to his pedophilia, Wander Franco. I don't even want to talk about it because it disgusts me. Like, this guy, I don't want to talk about it. If you know who Wander Franco is, who was the former shortstop for the Tampa Bay Rays, and you know just enough of the information that's come up around his name, I hope they put him under the jail. I hope he never enters any type of Major League Baseball again. And he won't. I mean, they're not letting Trevor Bauer back in. They're definitely not letting this guy in. All right, back to the phone we go. Ben is in Queens. Ben, you're on the Fan.
Listen, great, 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 great win from the Yankees tonight. But coming up on this trade deadline, the only problem is we still have an infield problem. We've got to get rid of Gleyber Torres. We've got to get rid of DJ. We got to get rid of Trevino. These guys are inconsistent bats on the lineup. And right now, they're becoming a fielding issue. Trevino's arm Well, when down
they've been better. They're throwing runners out again. I'll give credit where credit is due to the catchers, Austin Wells and Jose Trevino, back-to-back nights throwing guys out. They seem to be more alert, and I honestly don't think that there's many catchers available, and I don't think that the Yankees are going to be able to bring one in at the deadline. Because like I just don't expect them to make that move. But I'm with you on the infield. I'm done with Gleyber Torres. If they can trade him away for anything, cool. And then figure out second base, whether you bring a guy here or whether you put DJ there or whether you put Cabrera there. But like, I don't know. With DJ being a little bit more productive at the plate, I think that's all that they need to trust him in the second half and not make a move. But Ben, I'm 100% with you, bro. They need. And I saw people talking about Jonathan India when we played the Reds last week. I would love to see a Jonathan India come here because he could lead off and he could play second base. But they need a guy that can play multiple positions in the infield and potentially lead off. And I would love to see DJ be a bench bat, be a bench player, a utility infielder on the bench that is like, okay, DJ, remember when you used to be really good with runners in scoring position? Like, we might pinch hit you to do that right now. But he's just going to be ground out. Like, I don't know. He's not what he used to be.
It's sad to say, but we also got to get rid of Rizzo. Rizzo got to go.
Rizzo is cooked. You know why Rizzo is cooked?
Rizzo's done. He's washed.
He was cooked before Ben Rice emerged because his glove wasn't there. And this guy's a former glover. And, like, his contract,
he's cooked. A year ago.
Yeah, he's done.
He was cooked a year ago.
He's done.
He was cooked a year ago. Gleyber. He was cooked. I don't know.
2021. I was like trying to trade him. Man, when that IKF trade came from the Twins, I'm like,
guys.
Hopefully they flip Gleyber too. They got rid of Gio Urshela. They got rid of Gary Sanchez. I'm like, send Gleyber anywhere.
No, they kept him. That was the worst decision they made, to tell you the truth. And DJ, I love all these players. But we got to get rid of them. These are past players.
At one point in time,
we need to win a championship.
Yeah,
we have Soto. We have Judge. Ben Rice is looking promising. Volpe's looking promising. We have a good bat right now. Half of our bats are very good. The other
we get Stanton back. We get Stanton back. We get another bat in the trade deadline. I think we'll be all right.
I was at Yankee Stadium for the Red Sox game.
Which one?
The game one. Game one.
Friday.
I noticed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, correct. Friday, correct. So I noticed they walked Judge. They walked Soto. Then they walked Judge. Two people on base, no outs, and somehow we're not able to score a run.
No, because they're pressing. They're not thinking. There's too many times in this losing streak, everybody's trying to play hero ball and hit the ball out instead of situational hitting. There were times tonight where I'm like, come on, yo, we got to score. Like, they have to be more strategic with, like, how they scratch runs. When Judge had that leadoff knock tonight, like, coming off of Tim Hill, escaping, I'm like, we got to strike now and add another run. And then once they didn't do that, I'm like, they got to win this game 2-1. That's it. They're not going to score another run. Thanks for the call, Ben. Last call of the night goes to Thomas in center reach. Hopefully he got his phone right.
Yo, Keith, I got my phone, like, fixed. And since I have enough time, I can maybe elaborate a little bit. My point's really quick, since I know you're running low on time. What I was trying to say before was, since y'all might trade Gleyber Torres, like, somewhere else, we give you Jeff McNeil, and we get bullpen help, and then we just play Jose Iglesias at the second base every day.
Yeah, that we don't want Jeff McNeil, bro. Like, we definitely don't want Jeff McNeil. I'd be pissed off if I had to see his body language, the way he plays when he grounds out or pops out on top of Rodon. Like, it's a no for me, but maybe Cashman sees something in him. I doubt it.
All right. And then, real quick, is his career card lose Rodon? Is he done? Is he going to be cooked? Is he not? Is this contract going to be complete trash, or do you think he turns it around at the end?
6 years, $162 million. This guy's making $27 million a year in his second year with the Yankees. Really, his first year with the Yankees, because it was only half a year last year, half a year this year. He must adapt. He must evolve. He must be a professional and rise to the occasion.
Yeah,
clean up the body language, change your pitch mix, and compete.
Yeah. And then, real quick, last point. If Daniel Jones don't play week one, which I don't think he will, Drew Lock gets the start. If Drew Lock is bad, do you think that next week they would play Tommy DeVito?
No. No, you don't bench a guy off of one start in week one. Week one is preseason. Week one, in the NFL is preseason. There's going to be good quarterbacks in the NFL that are bad. Patrick Mahomes might be trash in week one. Saquon Barkley might be trash in week one. Did y'all see those pictures of Saquon and the Eagles like media day? this football season is going to be interesting. Saquon posted himself as the villain now. I don't think he wears the villain well. I don't think he's like that. And I don't think the Eagles are like that either. We'll see. C-Max coming up next. Call his show. The lines are wide open. That's it. KM to 2 a.m. on the Fan. I'll be back to do this again after the Yankees hopefully win later on tonight.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.